time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. What do you get when a group of friends go urban exploring to some abandoned hospital? Well, nothing good. Let's get spooky. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. The dead silence of the meeting room was broken by a loud thump on the table. It was Jackson, as he forcefully smashed an old newspaper that he had found onto the wooden table. The newspaper was yellow-stained, signifying its old age. The headline revealed a huge distorted image of a fairly small hospital, an abandoned one to be specific. Jack's eyes glared at the four of us intensively, his pair of pupils showing full of excitement and anticipation. This took place a week before summer holiday. For context, we are a small team of explorers. As adventurers, our main objective was to explore and document abandoned locations across America, which had long been forgotten. I, Kumar, was part of the team of five, including my girlfriend Amanda, Jackson, Tiffany, and Madison. Jackson continued his speech. Clifford Hospital is located in our neighboring state, established in 1936. It was meant to provide service throughout rural areas, thus being built near a forest close to the abandoned town. It was abruptly abandoned in 1953 for unknown reasons. Although it made headlines at the time, the story quickly faded from public memory. Weird, huh? I've searched for the internet hoping to find any information about the hospital, but no results came. As if it disappeared from the world without a trace. Madison nodded in agreement, followed by Tiffany and Amanda. Jackson then asked if we were able to team up to make the exploration at the hospital. The four of us were just as excited as him. Furthermore, we were confident that documenting such a rare place would not only bring satisfaction, but also certainly bring us popularity. Summer break came, and we packed our equipment for the exploration. We traveled using my trusty GMC pickup and set out on the long journey to our destination. It took several hours on the country road to reach to the hospital. Our plan was to film throughout the hospital using cameras and drones and head home before nightfall. As soon as the figure of a dilapidated building came into view, I decelerated the truck and pulled over in front of the entrance. The appearance of the building was memorizing. Having been abandoned for almost 40 years, it was obvious for the dirty building to be overlapped with overgrown weeds. Trees were grown from the windows and small plants protruded from concrete cracks. The front door was barely hanging on its hinges, and the surrounding grounds were littered with broken glass and rusted metal. It was clear that this place had been forgotten by the world, left to decay in its own time. Around the ancient hospital was a thick forest, surrounded by countless rows of fir trees, effectively rendering the surrounding environment more sinister. Amanda pulled out a camera to snap some photos from the truck. Simultaneously, we stepped out of the pickup truck and grabbed our filming equipment. Tiffany, who was in charge of flying the Mavic drone, ran to a plain terrain and flew it up. Moments after, the 4K camera from the drone displayed several blocks behind the building as it flew ahead. We then planned a way to explore the buildings. The plan was executed as following. We would split into two groups, where Jackson and Tiffany and Madison explore the east side, while Amanda and I headed for the west side. We would then return to the truck once we finished exploring. This gave Amanda and I some time alone, something that I always crave for. My left hand held a flashlight while the other one grabbed Amanda's palm as we walked into the entrance. The frontmost of the hospital was a reception room. The only source of illumination was sunlight from the broken windows, which gave us a dim view of the entire room. It was truly a sight to behold. I've seen countless abandoned places, but this one seemed to be unique in its own category. The displacement of the furniture, the design of the tiles, the combination of these elements produced a surreal environment. As I turned towards Amanda, I saw her taking a few shots of the room. We turned left towards the east wing of the hospital. We cautiously stepped into the alleyway as glass shards were abruptly broken from every step we took. On our left side was a column of windows illuminating the alleyway. On our right were locked wooden doors, presumably operation rooms and doctor offices. As we took a corner, we noticed a profound oddity on one of the doors. It was different from the others. It was bigger and seemed more reinforced. Above the door was a faint sign that read, "Restricted access to authorized personnel only." As we approached, Amanda noticed that the handle was broken, thus allowing us to swing open the door. Amanda immediately glanced at me full of excitement. I was hesitant initially. However, judging by her determination, I felt obliged to not disappoint her. Furthermore, I reasoned to myself that we could potentially unravel unsolved mysteries if we ventured deeper. We took our first steps through the door. It led into a more confined alleyway which lacked windows, so it was nearly pitch black inside. I shone a flashlight ahead of us and visualized a long alleyway with serrated steam pipes along the wall. We documented everything that we could find. We advanced further, which eventually led us to an elevator at the dead end. Since there was no power available, we had no option but to take the spiral staircase at the opposite side of the wall. The staircase was severely rusted, but stiff enough to damper our combined weights. I took the lead down.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit MyFreeStyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Stairs. I reminded Amanda to be careful as it became even darker. The journey downwards into an unknown void was almost endless. As what seemed to be an eternity, I finally stepped onto concrete. We were pretty much 50 feet deep.
"Honey, what kind of hospital has such a deep basement?"
whispered Amanda. Cold ran down my spine. My sixth sense hinted a bad feeling. We continued advancing ahead. A minute after some walking, we passed by a room. The sign read, "Decontamination Zone." Amanda pointed her camera towards one of the glass panes on our left. A set of laboratory glassware and furniture were instantly illuminated as the camera's light flashed. There appeared to be huge graph papers pinned onto the walls and computer monitors on the desk. This must be some secret laboratory. As to why it was built 50 feet below was still unknown. Nevertheless, it looked pretty cool. Amanda spoke to the camera. I was pretty amazed by the looks of the structure. As I shone further into the corridor, I noticed a black object on the floor. I was oddly terrified as soon as I realized what it was.
A pistol? What happened here?
Amanda asked.
No idea. I just found it laying on the floor. Oh no, look at those bullet holes on the wall, I replied.
There were shots fired, but who fired it? And most importantly, to whom it fired at? Shivers ran down my spine. The same went to Amanda. I grabbed the gun and kept it with me, just in case. Ahead of our path loomed a colossal steel blast door, its center marred by a gaping crack in which an ungodly force had acted upon it. Despite our best efforts, we could not find a way to breach it, and were forced to accept it as a dead end. After exhausting all possible avenues, we begrudgingly called it a day. Just as we were about to leave, I noticed a door on my peripheral sight. It was partially unlocked, so we decided to give it a shot. As Amanda flew open the door, we were met with a private office. On the desk wrote, Dr. Clifford, presumably the doctor's office. The office was partially intact, albeit the mess on his desk and the floor. Adding to the disarray, there was a drip of blood stain on the wall. What got my attention was the column of stacked files on his desk. They were labeled as highly classified. Bingo, Amanda, look at these, I exclaimed, but then realized she was busy scanning for the desk. Without hesitation, I pulled out one of the files. It was a yellow bind file. The title wrote, Patient Class AA-1394-X. I flipped the file open. Papers nearly flew out. The contents made me sick. Patient AA-1394-X, status, deceased. Description. Patient was admitted on May 19, 1949. Dr. Maynard's observation and documentation confirm that the patient possessed an extraordinary level of physical strength, estimated to be par with that of an adult male silverback gorilla. Vital signs show drastic increase as time went by, which eventually led to the patient's death 8 months since admittance. Postmortem report. DNA sequence of deceased patient was extracted and researched extensively. As a result, patient's DNA was able to be integrated into small insulin. The government expressed interest in harnessing this ability by creating a genetically modified organism capable of inheriting it, with the intention of applying it for military purposes. I absolutely could not believe what I read. I took out some of the files and put them in my backpack. Amanda returned with another file in her hand. I thanked her and did not hesitate to tell her the file that I had just read. Her expression was as expected. What unexpected was a bone-chilling screech from the distance, from where we came from. It sounded unearthly enough to paralyze us. Amanda instinctively hugged my arm.
What the F was that, Kumar? What was that?
No idea. Hey, we gotta get the F out of this place.
I slid the last file into my backpack and we fled the room. We ran past the lab, the decontamination room, and ran upwards all while I clenched on the handgun. Amanda was still filming with the camera. We left the basement as fast as we could. We exited thrice faster than we had entered. I nearly collided with something as we exited the door of the large bright alleyway. It was Jackson. I also noticed Tiffany and Madison running in the distance.
What the hell happened, Jack?
I tried not to raise my voice as I muttered at him.
Just run. Something was chasing us. It was trying to murder our asses.
Something? I pondered, but was immediately interrupted by another deafening screech. A gigantic entity appeared from the end of the alleyway. The sunlight cast an eerie glow upon the creature, exposing its truly horrifying appearance. Towering at an imposing height of 6 feet, the humanoid figure boasted excessively protruding skin and a grotesquely mutilated face. But the most terrifying aspect of the creature was its razor-sharp, mantis-like claws, capable of easily overpowering any obstacle in its path.
Run!
Jack screamed. We fled the other way. I grabbed Amanda's waist and ran along with them. The distance between us and the creature became smaller as we ran through the halls and rooms. As we bolted through the surgical room, Jack, leading the group, abruptly warned us of the obstacle up ahead, shouting for us to jump. Without hesitation, he leapt into the air, with Tiffany, Madison, and I quickly following suit. As we landed, I took a quick glimpse of the obstacle.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, or prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at freestylelibre.us.
For prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
Only to recognize it as a rotten skeleton draped in a coat. However, Amanda did not jump in time and tripped over it. Both of us landed hard on the floor. The other three did not notice us and was long gone. As a result, Amanda's left ankle was fractured badly. To worsen the situation, the creature's footsteps became more thunderous. My mind was spinning in chaos, trying to find a way out. There was no way we were running away with Amanda's injured leg. I pulled her and dragged ourselves under the operation table next to us. I gestured at Amanda to stay silent. She slowly nodded. I tried aiming my gun outside, but immediately realized that my gun was gone. It probably flung when we fell. We could hear the creature's breath seconds after. We stayed still for as long as we could. It was so silent we could feel our heartbeats pounding hard. As the creature came to a halt and started to scan the room, I gripped Amanda tighter. I could feel her tears flowing down my hand. We were visibly shaken from the terror of this imminent threat. The abomination was standing right next to us. It felt like an eternity waiting for it to leave. Just as it was about to move, I accidentally crashed my hand into the steel table, producing a clink so loud that my soul nearly left. The creature roared and looked downwards. The pair of its clumpy black eyes glared at our pathetic position, filled with hatred and vengeance. I pulled Amanda with me, fending off the creature with my legs. That's over, I thought. Maybe all that was left was the final moment between me and Amanda before we succumbed to our gruesome fate. I closed my eyes, about to accept my destiny when I heard footsteps approaching.
You son of a... Bang!
I immediately recognized the voice as Jack's. The terrifying view of the creature was gone as soon as Jackson battered it with full force. The creature immediately flung towards him, lifting him into the air effortlessly. Primary instinct kicked in, and I lunged forward towards the creature. It noticed me at the last minute and evaded my charge. It stabbed me in the arm, and I felt a rush of pain flowing through my body. The fangs grabbed me and lifted me into the air. The sense of impending doom came again. Once again, I thought I was going to meet my ultimate fate of being devoured by a monster. As it opened its wide jaw, about to consume my head, a deafening explosion reverberated my eardrum and I toppled onto the ground. I immediately glanced at the creature. It appeared to have fallen onto the ground. Then something touched me from behind. It started to hug all over me, but it was warm and soft. And I realized it was Amanda. She gave me the gun that I had lost. Suddenly, realization flashed over me, and I hugged her back, thanking her for saving my life. Then, something grabbed my right leg. It was the monster again. I frantically took the handgun and emptied it into the monster's skull. Unexpectedly, Jack grabbed one of the surgical knives and stabbed the creature's head. It let out one final scream before succumbing to its death. Jackson rushed towards us. The three of us were severely injured, Amanda being the worst of us all. Both of us carried Amanda and rushed for the exit. Tiffany and Madison, who witnessed the commotion since just now, also provided escort. As we reached the exit, we heard another screech. I let Tiffany carry Amanda as Madison and I jolted for the truck. I stepped into the driver's seat and started the truck. As soon as the engine roared, I stepped on the pedal and drove next to Amanda. As soon as everybody boarded and Jackson closed the door behind, I noticed a tall, menacing figure standing by the entrance. The same pair of eyes gazed into my soul, with the same amount of hatred in its abyss pupils. I instinctively reversed the truck into the main road and switched the drive gear, leaving the creature and the hospital behind. The figure of the abandoned hospital slowly faded into the horizon as time passed. We agreed to return home and to tell nobody about anything. Amanda, Jackson, and I would get treatment as soon as possible. A week had passed since the traumatic incident. Jackson and I fully recovered, while Amanda is still receiving treatment. During the recovery phase, I reviewed the contents Amanda filmed. It was as vivid as I experienced there, and it gave me chills. I also took some time to read the files I kept in my bag. All of the reports left me flabbergasted. The report details looked as if it came straight out of fantasy. Based on these unbelievable reports, all of the documented patients had majestic capabilities, incomprehensible to the human mind. Some were able to possess telekinetic ability, some had shape-shifting abilities, and others having incredible agility. Reading through the files, I was incredibly tempted to document them into my journal. Then came the last file, also the one Amanda gave me. As I grabbed it from my bag, I noticed that it wrote, Patient Case DP-3000. I reviewed its content. It struck me as this case was similar to what we had encountered during our visit. Patient DP-3000. Status, alive. Description. Patient was admitted on December 24, 1952. Under Dr. Leeward's observation, patient appeared to be severely mutated from excessive radioactive exposure. Under constant therapy, patient showed signs of shape-shifting over his body. Patient's final form was completed on January 31st of 1953, growing up to 8 feet tall in height and growing a pair of mantis-like claws on its limbs. Patient possesses incredible strength and requires strict containment procedures as patient often shows signs of aggression. That was all the information I got. I could only hypothesize that the creature, or rather patient DP-3000, caused a mess in the hospital and killed everyone. And we were just too unlucky to encounter it again. Whatever. We were just thankful to make it out in one piece. We were unsure whether to take the risk and spread it online to warn everyone, or just bury it within ourselves. That's why I came here. I'm here to warn you guys of an imminent danger lurking within this world. I know that you guys are reliable and will believe me. Remember, do not visit Clifford Hospital unless you have a death wish.